Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. The Missouri Department of Conservation plants acres of sunflowers every year at Columbia Bottom Conservation Area. The general public sees them as a gorgeous backdrop for photos, but those same sunflowers have a massive impact on the ecosystem at Columbia Bottom. Dan Zarlenga is media specialist for Missouri Department of Conservation. He joins us now to share about that impact. Dan, thanks for joining us today and welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity to come on.
Can you describe for us how these fields are looking right now?
Yeah, so what's really cool about these sunflower fields is, well, first of all, the individual sunflower is very, striking because of its, large yellow rays, and it's just its presence. They can grow 7 feet tall or sometimes more. Not always. They don't always grow that tall, but they go pretty tall nonetheless, several feet at the very least. And so an individual sunflower is very striking on its own. But then when you multiply that out by hundreds or thousands of them in a field, you have this amazing impact of all this massive yellow, all this incredible repeating pattern of flowers. And it just like amplifies the beauty of a single flower many, many times. So it really, for people who just love to watch sunflowers, it's amazing for photographers who love a backdrop with repeating pattern and very interesting color and stuff like that. It's really an ideal opportunity.
Does it have a particular scent or fragrance?
I don't have the most sensitive olfactory sense,
okay.
But I don't notice anything.
I don't believe
they do. I don't think they're known for having a sweet scent or anything.
Okay. So can you take us through the history of when the planting began and why it started?
Yeah, so the plantings initially were done at Columbia Bottom, as they are done in many areas around the state, MDC areas, is to as part of our dove management program. So we have dove hunting season, which starts September 1st in Missouri. And so what these sunflowers were originally planted for is for that dove management. So we would plant them. So basically when you plant the sunflower, it takes about 60 days to mature into a flower. And then the flower is a flower, as we recognize it, for about 10 days or so. And then eventually that wilts away, but that produces seeds. And so eventually when those seeds drop, they provide food that attract doves. And so the plantings were originally done for that reason. And so they were timed so that they would have that seed base by September 1st or before to draw in doves for dove hunting. So that's originally why they were planted. But it just so happens that they're very striking, as we talked about, to look at. And so people started wanting to come just to see the flowers, just for the flowers' sake. And then, of course, take pictures. And in the Instagram age in which we live, that took off like wildfire. So eventually, the folks at Columbia Bottom, the staff there, got the idea that, well, what if we, since this is taking off so big for that purpose alone, why don't we plant some additional fields? Because as I mentioned, they only really bloom like that for 10 days.
Right.
So about maybe 6 to 8 years ago, they got the idea of let's plant some additional fields and stagger those plantings. Because remember, you plant it, 60 days later, you get the flowers. So what they did is they planted the original dove management fields as they always had, but then they started planting additional fields after that, like 2 weeks later, then 2 weeks later, then 2 weeks later. And so now we have flowers blooming on that area through about mid-August or so, different fields, each one having their little 10-day fun in the sun, so to speak, and then and then another one takes over after that.
And what other areas are there mass plantings, like what you all do at Columbia Bottom?
Yeah, so we have another place where we do plantings like that is Weldon Spring Conservation Area in St. Charles. Now, what we're doing there is just the dove management one. So we just plant the one plot. It blooms for 10 days and then it's over with, but it's still during those 10 days you have that opportunity. The difference with Columbia Bottom is we started planting those additional fields that extend the viewing season until mid-August.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Talk with us about these ecosystem benefits. What are some of the facts there?
Sure. So sunflowers As I've already alluded to, they produce seeds, and a lot of us like to eat seeds, and they're very nutritious. They're and they're a very good source of protein and so forth. But it's not just for us; it's for wildlife as well. So I mentioned that they're done to draw in doves, and it's very effective for that. But also, lots of other wildlife benefit from those seeds. Lots of other birds, lots of other mammals, and like that. And then the other thing that sunflowers are good for is attracting pollinators. So they attract a wealth of pollinators, from bees to butterflies to moths and other insects that will pollinate them. And so they provide sustenance for those pollinators. And then, as the true web of life would be, those insects that are drawn to those sunflowers also now draw predatory animals for those insects. And so they provide nourishment for those other birds and stuff. We'll eat those a lot too. So, and some other possibly some other types of animals as well. So it's really kind of a cycle of life thing. It provides the seeds, it supports pollinators, and also supports other animals that may eat some of those other insects.
Mm-hmm. Do the Columbia bottom sunflower seeds, are they fit for human consumption?
I don't know as I pick them up myself and eat them. I think it's usually probably they are usually processed a little bit to make sure they're sanitary, and sometimes they're roasted, mm-hmm. Or they add a little salt to them. But it's interesting to note that the sunflower is native to North America. We're not sure if it's native to Missouri or not. There were Native Americans cultivated these. This go back like 2,000 or 3,000 years, evidence of Native Americans cultivating these in South America as well. So we're not sure whether they're actually native to Missouri or they just got moved around by Native Americans or European settlers, but they are essentially native now. Mm-hmm. And they're certainly native to North America, but they're actually North America's largest and most important native crop. So because of the sunflower seeds themselves for eating and the oil, which is used in a lot of different ways.
Mm-hmm. The sunflower, from what I have read, every part of it is edible?
I believe it is, yes. And I know a lot of animals will eat other parts of it. So I mentioned the seeds, but they will eat the greenery of the sunflowers and stuff too. So there, a lot of herbivores will also eat them. So yeah, they definitely provide nourishment in other ways beyond their seeds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do the stalks then get cut down once the heads?
They'll eventually cut those down. Mm-hmm. Yes, and then they'll replant again next year. Now, what they do is sometimes they'll rotate the fields a little bit. A lot of us are familiar with rotating, the idea of rotating crops around so you don't exhaust the soil too much. And so they'll do some rotating and stuff like that from year to year as well. Like some of the fields that may have been planted last year may not be planted this year, but there'll be other ones. And then two or three years later, those original fields will be planted again. So mm-hmm. just try to average that out a bit.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of sunflower is being planted at Columbia Bottom? There are many varieties.
There are multiple varieties, and I thought you'd ask me that, so I thought I better have my phone ready with the proper Latin name, and it's the Helianthus annus, which means literally Helios from sun, anthus from flower, and then mm-hmm. annus because they bloom annually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are there any complementary plants that grow alongside sunflowers?
Not that I'm particularly aware of. Naturally sunflowers typically will occur like naturally in places like, kind of glady places, prairie type settings, but they'll also come up on roadsides and various places like that too. And in fact, sometimes they can be used for like native gardening, native landscaping, roadside beautification and all that. So they would probably exist in conjunction with a lot of plants that would be found on prairies and glade type situations.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know if they have a specific companion plant or not, but that's the kind of plants they would be existing around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And according to our producer, common sunflowers are native to Missouri.
Oh, are they? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So I know they're considered that way now. The question was, were they historically in the past or whether they were moved here? But yeah, they're certainly native now for mm-hmm. sure. And it's just kind of a question about the history. Mm-hmm. We don't really know.
So you mentioned that 6 to 8 years ago is when this intentional planting to satisfy what crowds were looking for,
mm-hmm.
When that started. Have you all noticed any difference in how these sunflowers have grown as there have been some changes in climate?
I don't know that we've noticed it particularly with sunflowers. We've certainly noticed in other ways, which are, you know, outside the scope of sunflowers. But I don't know that we noticed it anymore in sunflowers. Sometimes we've had challenges planting because of flooding. And, you know, we had, like in some respects this year, they were delayed a little bit because of the extremely wet spring.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the fields are saturated, you can't plant. Or in times when there have been floods, one year we didn't plant them because there had been a flood on the area and covered the area with water. So I guess a lot of that stuff may be being impacted by climate change. So in that regard, that might be where the impact is indirectly with our ability to plant because of flooding and severe storms that we maybe didn't see so much of, you know, 50 years ago.
So people have come to expect these sunflower fields. Who comes out to see them? And is there a good time to be there, or open hours?
So the area is open from a half hour before sunrise to a half hour after sunset, 7 days a week. So you can go anytime you want. Now, when's the best time to go? Well, if you're into photographing them, and I think even viewing them, early morning or late evening. It's usually like get that hour or two before sunset or an hour or two within sunrise. This light tends to be better because you know, it's lower, it's more diffused, it's warmer. And also, especially days like this, it's going to be a little cooler, so it's a little more pleasant to be there than it would be in the middle of the day. Because if you get in the middle of the day, those of us who enjoy photography realize that's usually not the best light. So you get harsh light. So if you can go earlier or later, you'll get better light. It'll just be more comfortable. Now, the other thing is, if you can manage to go during the week, you'll have fewer people out there. It can get kind of crowded on weekends.
And these are families that are coming together?
Lots of variety of families, kids, young folks, people doing like portrait shoots, like professional photographers doing portrait shoots or whatever. Yeah, a lot of different folks out there. You know, you get your hardcore professional or high-end enthusiast taking pictures, and you've got, you know, people snapping things with their smartphones for Instagram.
One of the anecdotes that our producer Darius Varner actually shared with us has to do with a friend who wanted to go take photographs there. And she said, oh, this is really beautiful, but she is deathly afraid of insects. And you were talking about all of that wildlife that comes out. Is there anything that people kind of should keep in mind to make sure that they are not disrupting the way that these sunflowers serve the ecosystem, you know, as they're going to enjoy the sights and to avoid the insects too?
Yeah, so first thing, we definitely ask people not to pick the sunflowers. Don't take them home. Don't trample them. Don't do anything that will destroy them or mess them up in that way. As far as insects are concerned, I don't think our presence there is going to make too much of a big difference to the insects unless you're deliberately trying to, you know, spray them with insecticide, which, again, we don't want folks to do. But aside from that, I don't think it's going to probably impact too much. But there will be insects there, so that's something that folks who maybe aren't real comfortable with insects need to kind of be aware of. So a couple things to address that. I mean, definitely put on some DEET or whatever your favorite, Picaridin or whatever your favorite insect repellent is. There might be mosquitoes possibly, so long sleeves and pants and shirts help, even though it's counterintuitive when it's warm. But if you have that barrier in your skin, that just makes it a little harder for insects to get to you. And also, some people might freak out by seeing bees, like there. And I understand some people are uncomfortable with bees, but the bees that you're going to most likely find around these sunflowers are native bumblebees. And while they may look scary and imposing, they're actually pretty harmless. They're not like European honeybees, which are more aggressive and more likely to sting. These guys, I can't guarantee you, no one ever gotten stung by a bumblebee, but it's pretty rare. They're pretty passive. And if you don't mess with them, usually you'll be fine. So those big bees you see flying around are actually probably safer than honeybees, and they're much better at pollinating because they have big hairy bodies and they really move that pollen around.
Okay. I love that visual.
Yeah.
Bodies are picking things up and moving them.
Yes. And there'll be moths there doing, there might be butterflies and all kinds of cool insects. So actually, if you're into insects, that might also be, you know, a good way to go. If you take the opposite spin,
right.
You like insects and you want to see some, it's a good opportunity.
Okay. So an alert to entomological people.
For entomologist friends, that's
a
good opportunity.
As we head into August, Dan, is there wildlife that you would suggest that folks keep an eye out for just when they're visiting Missouri parks and wild spaces overall?
Yeah. So there's lots of wildlife, in fact. Columbia Bottom specifically, depending on where you go in the area, you'll see a large variety of birds. So if you're a birder, that's also maybe a good reason to go there in addition to the sunflowers, because you may be able to pick a couple of birds off your list there. Check them off. And so that's a really good opportunity there. We also have parts of the area have really have good shorebirds and things like that, because it is on the Missouri and Mississippi River. So we've got that opportunity. But I mean, I've heard coyotes there. I've seen, you know, rabbits and, you know, raccoons and, you know, all kinds of wildlife. I know I've heard, I have not seen it myself there, but I've talked to plenty of people who've seen bobcats. So lots of different wildlife that you might see out there.
Mm-hmm. Last question here. Have you taken your annual sunflower portrait? Is that something that you do?
Well, not so much of myself. I'm camera shy. So, you know, but I have taken pictures of the sunflowers before, and I enjoy doing that. Yes.
Okay. So you've got lots of photo credits then.
Yeah, of the sunflowers. Not so much of me. But yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Dan Zarlenga is media specialist for Missouri Department of Conservation. Dan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks. Appreciate the opportunity.
This episode was produced by Darius Farner.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.